Welcome back to the OU Shnei Mikra series and our study of Parshat Vayetze. This is Menachem Lipneg, and in today's year we study Chamishi, the fifth Aliyah, beginning in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Chav Chet, chapter 30, verse 28. Today's Aliyah begins in the middle of a discussion between Yaakov and Lavan. Recall from yesterday's Aliyah that Yaakov had requested to go back home together with his children and with his wives, go back to the land of Canaan. However, at this time he's penniless. Recall that for the last 14 years he's been working for Lavan, taking care of his sheep. And during those 14 years, Lavan has become more and more wealthy, and that was thanks to Yaakov, as Lavan himself understands and agrees. However, those 14 years is what Yaakov owed Lavan for his marriage first to Leah and then to Rachel. Yaakov can't return right away because he has no money in his own name. Therefore, both Lavan and Yaakov understand that Lavan has to give something to Yaakov. The question is going to be, how will Lavan compensate Yaakov to enable him to return back home? In Pasuk Chav Chet, when Chamishi begins, Lavan tells Yaakov as follows, Vayomar, Nakvas charcha alai vetena. Lavan says the simplest thing, tell me what compensation you want, what schar you want, what reward you would like, and I'll give you. At first glance, Lavan seems to be very generous and says, you want to leave? Fine. I understand I have to give you something. Let me know what you want me to pay you. Vayomar ilav, Yaakov responds, Ata yadata et asher avadaticha, you know very well how good I was working for you. And you also know how good I was when I took care of your flock. When I started working for you 14 years ago, the amount of sheep and livestock that you had was very small, and now it's increased manyfold. And God has blessed you. You and all your livestock has been blessed ever since I came on the scene. And now, and therefore, I want to take advantage of my ability to work, and I want to do something for my own home, for my own possessions, so that I don't have to leave empty-handed. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Lavan now responds to Yaakov's request. Vayomer, ma etein lach? So tell me, what should I give you? Vayomer Yaakov, lo titen li meuma. Yaakov tells back to Lavan, I don't want anything from you. In other words, I don't want any presents. Im taseh li hadavar hazeh, I simply want you to do one thing for me. Ashuva ere tzoncha eshmor. Let me go back and once again be your shepherd and take care of your flock. Before we continue to the next pasuk to understand what Yaakov is going to suggest, we have to explain a little bit how shepherds were paid in ancient times. One way to pay a shepherd was simply to provide him with shelter, food, and lodging. And that's what Lavan did for Yaakov the first month when he first met Rachel, when he arrived for the first time running away from Esav. Another way to pay shepherd is for something specific. Yaakov for 14 years worked for his two daughters. Now that those 14 years are over, Lavan needs to pay Yaakov in another manner for his work. So Yaakov says as follows, I'm going to continue to work for you, and I want you to pay me with the children of the sheep that I'm shepherding. Or basically, if you want to compare this to a modern day setting, Yaakov is working for stock options. The stocks here are actually livestock. That's the sheep that he's shepherding. And even though the sheep belong to Lavan, these sheep give birth every year to children. And Yaakov wants to be paid in a certain percentage from the baby sheep that are born every year. But Yaakov has a plan to make sure that there should be no misunderstanding in regard to whose sheep belong to whom. And therefore he says, I only want to take from you the sheep that will be born that are speckled and spotted. So Yaakov makes the following proposition to Lavan. I want to continue and work for you as your shepherd. I'll take care of all your sheep like I used to. And I want you to pay me in stock options. In other words, I want a certain percentage of all the sheep that are born every year, and that'll be my pay. Now, Yaakov could have said 10%, 20%, 30%, or something like that. However, if that was a deal, there'd be a lot of room for trickery in regard to which sheep belong to Yaakov and which sheep belong to Lavan. Yaakov has a better idea, which Lavan agrees to right away. Yaakov suggests to Lavan that the speckled and spotted sheep would belong to Yaakov, and all the regular sheep would belong to Lavan. What's the idea behind this? To understand what's behind Yaakov's original suggestion, we have to understand a little bit about sheep genetics. The proposal that Yaakov makes to Lavan is based on the understanding that about 25% of sheep are speckled and spotted. In other words, most sheep are plain white, and that's always best because the cotton that comes from the sheep, when you shear them, the white color is always the best. However, about 25% are born spotted or speckled, and most likely that's due to a recessive gene among the sheep. The same thing with goats. Most of the goats are dark brownish color, but some of them, also about 25%, are also born spotted and speckled. if the characteristic of spotted and speckled is a recessive gene, and the dominant gene is a plain white sheep or the plain dark goats, then genetically speaking, about 25% of the children born to these sheep should be speckled and spotted. In other words, Yaakov is going to make the following proposal. He's going to take care of Laban's sheep just like he did before. However, his payment is going to be all the spotted and speckled sheep that are born in the years to come. This plan will ensure that there should be no confusion in regard to what sheep belong to Yaakov and what sheep belong to Laban. Therefore, before they begin, Yaakov and Laban are going to go through all their sheep, take out anything spotted and speckled before we start, and give that to Laban's sons, because that doesn't belong to Yaakov, because Yaakov hasn't started working yet in the new plan. When the new plan starts, starting with this year, the only sheep that Yaakov will be watching will be the white sheep, which belong to Laban, the ones without speckles and dots. But from this year on, every time the sheep give birth, the sheep that are born spotted and speckled, those will belong to Yaakov, and the ones that are born white and normal, those will belong to Laban. In that manner, Yaakov will build up his own bank account. In other words, Yaakov's bank account will be the dividends from these stock options, where his sheep, which are spotted and speckled, everyone knows belong to him, and the remaining sheep that belong to Laban, the regular white sheep or the dark goats, everyone knows those belong to Laban. The assumption will be that about 75-80% of the sheep each year that are born will be plain, and those will belong to Laban, and about 20-25% that are speckled and spotted, those will always go to Yaakov, and that way Yaakov's dividends, his flock, will be spotted and speckled, and Laban's sheep will be easy to identify because they're the plain white ones, which again was a dominant gene, and that was the way that most sheep and goats were born. Later on we're going to see that it just so happened that when Yaakov was watching Laban's sheep, most of the sheep that were born happened to be spotted and speckled. We'll see that story now as we continue to read. So let's pick up the story now in Pasuk Lamed Bet. Abor b'chol tzoncha hayom, Yaakov tells Laban, let's go through all of your sheep today. Haser misham kosen nakud v'talu, take away from there any sheep now, at present time, which is speckled or spotted. V'choseh chum b'ksavim, v'tulu v'nakud b'aizim, and then everything afterwards that's born, v'hayas chari, that will be my reward, or my compensation, as I continue to watch all of your sheep. V'anta b'tzit katib yom achar, next year, or as time goes on, when these sheep give birth to children, ki tavo aschari lefanecha, when I get my compensation before you, ko asher enenu nakud v'talu be'izim, anything which is not speckled or spotted in the goats, v'chum b'ksavim, or anything which is not dark in the sheep, ganuv hu iti, that will be considered stolen. In other words, the best sheep are the white sheep. Those belong to Laban. Anything not white will belong to Yaakov and the sheep. Anything speckled and the goats will also belong to Yaakov, again, only referring to what's going to be born in the years to come. In Lavan's eyes, this is an offer he can't refuse. Therefore, Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Vayomer Lavan, hey, Lavan says he agrees. That's great. Lu yeh kidvarecha, halavai, it should be like you say. In Lavan's eyes, this is what we call a win-win. Lavan has a good shepherd taking care of his sheep, and he's only asking for a compensation, which he thinks is only going to be some 20-25%, which for Lavan is a great deal. Pasuk Lamed Hei, v'yasar b'yamahu et ha'tiyashim hakudim v'atluim. And therefore, as they stipulated, they go through on that day, the day they make the agreement, and take away any of the spotted and speckled sheep, that kol ha'izim hanukudot v'atluot, and all the spotted and speckled goats, kol asher lavan bo, among the goats, anything with a drop of white, v'kol chum b'ksavim, and among the sheep, anything with a drop of dark, in other words, anything which isn't perfect among the sheep, v'ten b'yad banav, those Laban gave to his own children, so that there shouldn't be any mistake between what belongs to Laban and what belongs to Yaakov. This is a little confusing, so I want to explain it again. Yaakov agrees to continue to take care of most of Laban's livestock. However, from this year on, any livestock that's born, that's speckled or spotted, in other words, any sheep which aren't white and any goats that aren't dark are going to belong to Yaakov. But this is only going to begin, this compensation, only in the year to come when they give birth. At the present time when they're making the deal, there are already some speckled and spotted sheep which belong to Laban. So therefore, Laban takes those out right away and gives them to his sons, to his own children, and they'll take care of them far away. This way, Yaakov and Laban know that from this time on, everything non-spotted and non-speckled belongs to Laban, and everything from now on that will be born, spotted or speckled, will belong to Yaakov. And also now, to make sure that there should be no intermingling between whose sheep belongs to whom, he he puts a 3-day distance between the sheep of his sons that they're watching and the sheep that Yaakov is watching for Lavan. The Yaakov ro'et son Lavan ha'notorot, and Yaakov takes care of the rest of Lavan's sheep, which here is a beautiful play on words. This is the sheep that belong to Lavan, and it's also the sheep that are white. Those that are remaining, that were non-speckled, they didn't go to Lavan's sons. Those remain with Yaakov, and there's a 3-day distance between them. Now begins the tricky part. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Vaykach lo Yaakov makal livne lach veluz varmon, vayfatzel behem psalot levanot, machsof alavan asher halamaklot. Yaakov does here what seems to be some type of a trick. Yaakov is going to do something now, which is going to cause the sheep that are going to give birth to spotted and speckled sheep. What does he do? He takes some branches for some trees. One tree is called a livne tree, which by its name must be some type of white bark. A luz tree, which is an almond tree, also has a white type of a bark. And an armon tree, which is probably like a sycamore tree, which also has a white bark when you peel it away. So he takes some branches from these trees. He takes away some of the bark, creating wooden type wands, which he's going to put near the sheep when they come to drink. And these white looking wands of wood seemingly are going to cause the sheep to give birth to spotted and speckled sheep. Pasuk Lamed Chet. Vayatzek et hamaklot asher pitzel. He takes these wooden wands where he scraped away the bark. Baratim b'shikatot hamayim. He put them in the water troughs where the sheep come to drink the water. Asher tavona hatzon lishtot lenochach hatzon. When the sheep would come to drink water opposite each other, vayichamne b'vohan lishtot. This would cause them to get excited during their mating season when they would come to drink. And there was something in these wands when the sheep saw them that caused them to get pregnant and later to give birth to sheep that were predominantly spotted and speckled. Therefore, when these sheep came to drink the water and they became pregnant, they gave birth to sheep that were akudim likudim utluim, exactly what Yaakov wanted, and that way his compensation was more and more. What does Yaakov do next in Pasuk Mem? Vaksavim yifrid Yaakov, these baby sheep that were born now, Yaakov set aside because that was his compensation. Vaytem pnei atzon el akod v'kochum atzon lavan, v'yashet lo adarim levado, v'lo shetam atzon lavan. Anything that was born spotted and speckled each year, which was exactly the deal that Yaakov and Lavan made, Yaakov kept now separate in his own bank account. And anything to remain plain white in the sheep or plain dark in the goats, that remained belonging to Lavan, and he kept that separate. And this happened every year. Pasuk Mem Aleph. V'ya b'cho yicham atzon ha'mekusharot. Whenever the sheep that were quick to give birth, whenever they were giving birth, v'sam Yaakov et ha'maklot le'nei atzon b'haritim. Then Yaakov took advantage of that situation and put these maklot, these wooden wands, in front of these sheep when they were ready to get pregnant. Li'achamena b'maklot, in order to get them to give birth when they were looking at these maklot. However, there were other sheep that gave birth at a later time. Ubatif hatzon lo yasim. The other sheep that were weaker, that didn't give birth so fast, he didn't put the maklot in front of them. Vaya tufim lelavan vakshurim liyakov. And therefore, those sheep that gave birth quicker and gave birth to spotted and speckled sheep, those are the ones that Yaakov took the most care of, and the remaining ones remained to Lavan. Now, how did Yaakov know this trick, which seems to be some type of genetic engineering, to take a recessive gene and make it more dominant when giving birth? Either he was an expert at it, or it could be that's what God showed him in his dream, which he explains to his wives later on, as we'll see later on in this Aliyah. Whether Yaakov was doing the right thing or the wrong thing, there's no doubt he's doing something here which totally surprised Lavan. Was it proper in using trickery to trick Lavan back? That's a very good moral argument, which is beyond the discussion of our shir today. In regard to who's the good guy in this, and who's the bad guy, and who's using trickery, and who's taking advantage of the other, that we'll discuss more in detail when we get to the last Aliyah, when Yaakov and Lavan had their final argument, and Yaakov lets everything out. Let's continue now our story in Pasuk Mem Gimel. Vayifrotz ha'ish mod mod, because of what Yaakov was doing, Yaakov became more and more wealthy. Vayhi lo tzon rabot, he had many, many sheep, ushvachot vavadim, with all the sheep that made him wealthy. Therefore, he needed many more maidservants and many more regular servants, also many camels and donkeys. In other words, Yaakov became more and more wealthy. As we would expect, as Yaakov is becoming more and more wealthy, Lavan and his children are going to accuse him for tricking him and taking advantage of something he knew that they didn't know. Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 31, Pasuk Aleph, Vayishma divrei b'nei Lavan lemor. Yaakov now heard the words of Lavan's children saying, Lakach Yaakov et kol asher lavinu. Yaakov took everything that our father had. Umi asher lavinu asad kol hakavod hazeh. All this wealth that Yaakov has now amassed Who has it come from? It's really come from our fathers. They're accusing Yaakov of what we would call today insider trading. He's doing something to manipulate this livestock to make sure that he gets all the dividends. Now, not only are they going to accuse him of trickery or stealing, they're going to say that everything that Yaakov has really belongs to their father. It seems like Lavan, their father, also agrees. Pasuk Bet, Vayar Yaakov et pnei Lavan, v'nei enenu imok et moshe shom. Yaakov also saw Lavan's face, and he wasn't with him like in days past. When Yaakov was his main shepherd, taking care of his sheep, and Yaakov was doing well, and everything was growing, and it was all thanks to Yaakov, Yaakov and Lavan got along great. Now that Yaakov started his own business, now they're angry, and they want to get back at him. From the look of Lavan's face, Yaakov thinks his days are numbered, and they're probably going to be out to get him, because the best way to get their sheep back is simply to kill Yaakov. Yaakov decides it's time to run away. But before this, we have a little interlude in Pasuk Gimel, where God comes now and speaks to Yaakov. Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Adonai el Yaakov, in the middle of all this, God interrupts now and has a message for Yaakov. God tells Yaakov as follows, Shuv el eretz avotecha ulemolaretecha ve'eyeh imach. Return now to the land of your forefathers, the land of your birth, and there I'll be with you. What's this imply? If you stay here with Lavan, if you remain in Chutz Laretz, in Aram, taking care of the sheep, I'm not going to be with you anymore. I was with you till now, I helped you, I made you wealthy and rich, but enough is enough. You said you wanted to make a little bit of money and then return. It's been 6 years now, and you're not returning. God's telling Yaakov, there's a natural reason that they're angry with you, because they think that you've cheated them, but there's also a spiritual reason why they're angry with you, that God's behind that. I'm telling you through them, it's time to return home. Remember when Yaakov first made his neder, when he first made his vow, God promised him beforehand, Hinei Enochi Imach Ushmarticha B'chol Asher Telech. I'm going to be with you and take care of you everywhere you go. God says, I've done that for you, but enough is enough. Now it's time to return. If you want me to be with you like I've been with you till now, you have to go back home. After hearing that from God, Yaakov now has to make a plan to leave. He obviously doesn't want to leave without his children and without his wives. However, he's worried that maybe his wives would rather stay home. After all, they're Lavan's daughters. They've been living there the whole life. Making Aliyah will not be so easy for them. Therefore, he has to come and meet him now secretly and try to convince them to return with him to the land of Israel. Pasuk Dalet. Vayishlach Yaakov, Yaakov sends, Vayikra l'Rachel u'l'Leah, he calls and summons Rachel and Leah, Hasadeh el Tzono, to the field, to the sheep, where it's quiet and no one will overhear what's going on. Vayomer lehem, he tells them as follows, Ro'eh onochi et pnei avichem, ki nenu elai, kit moshe shom, I see in the face of your father, he's not with me, like in the good old days. Velohei avi hayayimadi, on the other hand, the God of my father, the God of Yitzchak, was with me. Not only was with me and helped me with the sheep, he also was with me and told me it's time to go home. Vateni edaten, you yourselves know very well, ki b'chol kochi avadeti et avichem. You know very well with all my ability, with all my strength, I worked for your father, and I did very well for him. Yaakov is worried that maybe his wives are going to side with their father, and maybe they also agree with their brothers that Yaakov has been tricking Lavan. Yaakov has to explain to them now that it's not his fault, rather it's their father's fault. Pasuk Zayin, v'avichem hatelbi, v'chlif et maskurti aseret munim. Your father has tricked me, and he switched my compensation 10 times over. V'lo netano Elohim l'aray madi. But no matter what he tried to do to me, God did not allow him to do any harm to me. Im ko yomar, if our agreement was as follows, nekudim yescharecha, if our agreement was that in next year, the sheep that are born, my compensation will be the nekudim, v'yodu ko atzon nekudim. It just so happened that all the sheep that were born that year were nekudim. V'im ko yomar akudim yescharecha, and if our agreement was the akudim would be my compensation, v'yodu ko atzon akudim. It just so happened, thanks to God, that all the sheep that were born were akudim. It's not that I was tricking him. God was with me. What else could I do? V'yatzeu Elohim et migne avichen v'yiten li. It wasn't me who tricked your father. God was helping me, and God was the one who saved the flock of your father and gave it to me. Now, how did Yaakov know what to do? He explains to his wives how he knew what compensation to ask for. V'hi v'eiti chamatzon, whenever it was time for the sheep to give birth, v'asei nai v'reba chalom, I lifted up my eyes and I saw in a dream, v'nei atudim ha'olim alatzon, akudim nekudim uvrudim. He saw in this dream the sheep going up, or maybe even up and down, and through that prophetic dream, that's how God told him which sheep to ask for in his compensation deal that he worked out with Lavan. What we see here, which is quite ironic, when Yaakov was in Ishtam Yoshevo Alim, when he was a simple man, living in tents and living at home with his parents, when he had his dream when he first left Israel, in his dream he saw Malachi Elohim Olim V'yordim Bo. he saw a vision of angels of God going up and down. And it was through this vision of angels that God gave him his message. And now, 20-some years later, after spending decades with Lavan and working in the field and becoming a businessman, now if God wants to talk to him in a prophetic dream, now he has to talk to him through a vision of sheep. Yaakov's life has changed, and therefore the manner by which God talks to him has changed as well. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Elai Malach Elohim B'chalom Yaakov. But in the middle of this dream, the angel of God spoke to me as follows. V'omar Hineni. And I answered, here I am. Vayomer, he told me, Sana Inecha Urei Kol HaTudim Olim HaLatzon Akudim Nekudim Uvurdim. Look at all these sheep that I'm showing you in this dream. The speckled, the spotted, the different types of sheep that you should ask for your compensation. Ki ra'iti et kol asher Lavan oseh lach. God saying, I've seen what Lavan's doing to you. He's constantly trying to trick you and not give you what you deserve. God's going to get him back and make sure you get even more than you deserve. But now God's going to add another message in that dream. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Anochi ha'el Beitel. I am the God of Beitel who promised to take care of you. Asher mashachta shama tzeva. But you erected the monument. You took that stone and put oil on it. And you said you're going to come back there and build a house for God. Asher nadata lisham neder. You made a promise back there that you're going to return one day and serve me here and build for me a house. Ata, now that I took care of you, it's time for you to take care of what you promised. Kum tse min ha'aretz hazot. It's time to get out of this land of Lavan, where I've been taking care of you up until now. V'shuva eretz moladatecha. Now it's time to return to the land of your birth to fulfill your vow and become my nation. The question is going to be, is this going to convince his wives? And sure enough, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vatan Rachel v'Leah, Rachel and Leah answered, Vatomarna lo. And they tell Yaakov as follows, Ha'od lanu chelek v'nachala b'veit avinu. Do we have any portion left in the house of our father? This concept of chelek v'nachala we'll find later on in Tanakh, in Shmuel Bet Perachaf, in the revolt of Sheva ben Bichri, in his opening statement that begins the revolt, he says as follows, he blows the shofar and says, Ein lanu chelek b'David v'lo nachala b'ven Ishai, ish lo alav Yisrael. And later, in Melechim Aleph, Perek Yud Bet, in the revolt of Yerovam, in Pasuk Tet Zayin, there Am Yisrael says something similar, Malanu chelek b'David v'lo nachala b'ven Ishai lo alecha Yisrael. To this phrase that Rachel and Leah use to explain they have no portion and they don't identify anymore with their father is something we see later on in Tanakh also, which signals the beginning of a revolt against the previous kingdom. So again, Rachel and Leah said, Ha'od lanu chelek v'nachala b'beit avinu. Halo nochriot nechshavnu lo, ki macharanu. We were like foreigners to him, because he sold us. He treated us like property. V'yochal gamacho et kaspenu. And even ate up and took our money. In other words, Yaakov paid a heavy price for Rachel and Leah, 14 years of work, and Lavan took all that for himself, and didn't give anything of that to his daughters. Ki cho ha'osher asher yitzil Elohim me'avinu. Because all this wealth, which God has saved from our father and given to you, lanu levanenu, it belongs to us. After all, you worked 14 years for Rachel and Leah, for us. And therefore, all this wealth belongs to us. You did the work. And since this sheep is to provide for our children and our grandchildren and our family that we're going to begin, they see no problem siding with Yaakov against their father. Again, in Pasuk Tet Zayin, in verse 16, Ki chol ha'osher asher yitzil Elohim yavinu, all this wealth which God saved from our father, lanu hu levanenu, it's for us and for our children. Vata, now, kol asher omar Elohim elecha, say anything that God tells you, do it. Basically, they agree with Yaakov, and they're willing to cooperate with him to run away from their father and leave to the land of Israel. How Yaakov leaves and how Lavan's going to chase after him will be the topic of the next Aliyah.